It's time for JT the Brick.
Raiders defense is no joke. The offensive line is good. The Raider defensive line is better. We all agree on that, right? Mad Max Crosby and Christian Wilkins, those guys are train wreckers.
There's definitely a little tinkering going on. We'll see, you know, what sticks, and we'll put, you know, the best version of our defense out there, you know, at the beginning of the season, and hopefully it keeps improving.
But our freaking D-line is nasty. The D-line of the Raiders is nasty the way it used to be.
JT the Brick.
But this guy, Antonio Pierce, is going into L.A. like Russell Crowe in Gladiator going into Rome. Okay, this guy, Antonio Pierce, is going to be like the movie Gladiator, leading everyone into Los Angeles. And he ain't joking.
And now,
don't worry about our quarterback, buddy. Worry about yours.
Here's JT the Brick.
Out of the gate, JT coming to you live from Costa Mesa for the last time as the Raiders break camp today with their last real practice here on the flagship of the Silver and Black, Raider Nation Radio. 9:20 a.m. on the Raiders mobile app and on YouTube, where everybody in YouTube just watched me interview Max Crosby for about 10 or 11 minutes. And I think it's one of the best conversations I've ever had with Max. So we'll play that coming up here as Bobby will turn it around here back in the studio here. But Max finished practice. As I'm sitting here now, he's on the sideline working with former Raider Gerald McCoy, the Oklahoma legend, who now works for NFL Network, and he's out with Christian Wilkins, Max Crosby is, and Gerald McCoy, and they're just doing some handwork here. It's really cool to see what I'm seeing out here as Max and Christian Wilkins stayed late after their interviews, and they're out there with Gerald McCoy doing one-on-ones with one of the great players on the defensive line over the last 20 years in the NFL. Daniel Jeremiah, Mike Garofolo, NFL Network is also out here. So they had Max, and then I got Max. And we had to do Max before the show started. So I fired up the laptop, we fired up the YouTube, and we got it going. And it was really good. And Max and I talked about Kobe Bryant. We talked about the background noise, what he's hearing from Denver fans, Charger fans along the way. Really good. And, you know, I didn't want to go all X's and O's with him. But the quarterback play is really important, and you'll hear the interview coming up here. Also today, today's a good day for phone calls if you want to get through. It's my last two-hour show here. Tomorrow we're on back in studio. I'm off on Friday. Then I catch a plane with the Raiders to Minneapolis as the Raiders are going to take on the Minnesota Vikings week one of the preseason. So the way I'm going to frame this show today is anything goes. Okay, everybody understand? We don't have any many rules on this show. Today is anything goes on camp. I don't know everything. I'm not going to tell you who's going to make the roster or not. We're not here to cut, make cuts and all that. But I've seen it all. From the offense to the defense, I spent a lot of time on special teams, being the voice for these preseason games on radio as the great voice of the Raiders. Jason Horowitz goes to TV. I spent a lot of time on this camp with special teams looking at this kickoff. So I think I'm pretty well-versed in that, but you never know. There's some new rules. And last night, fun story, last night here, I had a buddy of mine come down. We went to dinner. There's a great restaurant here in Costa Mesa called the Water Grill. Oh, my God. It's unbelievable. And I held court every night there at the bar with my wife one night and some other friends who came in. And after last night, what's been a habit for me is I go outside the team hotel. There's a pool area, and we have a cigar. So I bought a box of cigars from our buddy Mike from La Casa Cigars, and I'm down to about six or seven of them. And who am I sitting with but the NFL referees who are assigned to work Raiders camp? And one of the referees, the head honcho, 27 years as a referee in the NFL, the side judge, young guys who've been in the league only two or three years. And we talked football and some really cool stuff about rules and the evolution of the replay and all that. So I had a lot of fun there last night. And then today I got a chance to watch the final practice. And, you know, this whole practice has been about the quarterbacks not so much underachieving. I wouldn't say they're underachieving, but they haven't popped. They haven't flashed. The flashes have been minimal. I didn't expect that. Look, you know, when I'm wrong, you tell me when I'm wrong. Believe me, look at my Twitter. I try not to be wrong a lot. So when I'm wrong, you tell me. Last year, Jimmy Garoppolo didn't have a really good preseason. He had a really good first game when the Raiders beat the Denver Broncos. Remember, he slid in bounds to close out the game. I thought Jimmy played well. And then Jimmy Garoppolo's ability digressed because he was playing injured. It didn't work out. You know the whole story. they didn't really get creative on offense. Jimmy's injured. Then he gets benched at the end of the year. And, you know, I wanted Jimmy Garoppolo to do great. Raiders aren't going to win unless the quarterback plays really well. Well, the quarterbacks here in Costa Mesa have not played really well. And I needed to come here and see it because I got to host this show. And if I didn't come to Costa Mesa, and I would have been reading the tweets of Vic Tafer and Deshaun Reed and Vinny Bonsignor and everybody else, I would have been sitting here saying, well, they're saying that the quarterbacks aren't playing well. No, I'm saying that the quarterbacks aren't playing well. There's interceptions left and right. Every time they go 11-on-11 or 7-on-7, and again, today wasn't a practice in pads, but, you know, they're rushing the passer, they're blocking, and there's no Devontae Adams as he's waiting on the birth of his son. And then the play starts, and a ball either gets intercepted or a ball gets tipped or a ball falls short, and there's a lot of wasted plays. Now, the play isn't completely wasted because Luke Getsy and his staff is evaluating footwork. They're evaluating blocking techniques. They're evaluating how to hit the hole. But here's the good news, and they're not going to show us everything in front of small fan bases and the media, but I've seen enough of Luke Getsy to know what he's trying to do. And Luke Getsy, the offensive coordinator, is trying to put a lot of players in motion. He's trying to move players around and make some really tough matchups for the defenses that he's going to go up against. Let me give you an example today. A portion of the practice today with both quarterbacks, I was on the sideline, and Brock Bowers lined up wide. So he was closest to me on the sideline. Next to Brock Bowers on the inside was Jacoby Myers. And then to the left of the offensive line was Michael Mayer. So you didn't even have Michael Mayer down in a three-point stance. You had Michael Mayer playing tight end. You had Jacoby Myers in the slot. And you had Brock Bowers lined up wide. And then on the other side by himself was Trey Tucker. So when you look at everything that they're trying to do with this team, what they're trying to do is give you different formations, putting men in motion, moving men around, doing certain things that are really important here because the Raiders have to do that if they're going to have any pop on offense. They're going to run 12 personnel. They're going to run 12 personnel, and everything is going to be okay with the way they line up and their scheme, which is very important. But the question is, the quarterback, whoever it is, has to get the ball out quickly. So here's where I stand on August 7th, 2024, at the end of Raiders training camp before they go to Minneapolis. I believe that Gardner Minshew is the choice. I don't know if he'll be the choice. The coach makes that, along with Tom Telesco, the GM. But I've seen enough to say that I think Gardner Minshew probably gives the Raiders a better chance to beat the Harbaugh brothers on the road. With Khalil Mack, Joey Bosa, and the Ravens' defense stacked in the first two games, Minshew's won more games in this league. He's won more games than Aiden O'Connell. He's really good when a pocket breaks down, and I think the pocket's going to break down. We haven't seen Colt Miller. We're supposed to see him soon. Jackson Powers Johnson did not play in Costa Mesa at all, even though they're ramping him up to get him back. I think the depth of this offensive line, as I look at Cody Whitehair and Andres Pete, those are good players. Those are two very good players that are going to be tested early in the season on the offensive line, and I think they're going to play a big role going forward here. They have to play a big role going forward. The backups on the offensive line, two of them might start the season. And Andres Pete, 10 years out of Stanford, this guy can play. DJ Glaze, if he gets called in case of emergency, the rookie out of Maryland, that guy can play. But most importantly, at guard, Cody Whitehair, 9 years out of Kansas State, he can also play. That's a good thing, because if the starting offensive line needs a reserve or a backup to come in, I want to see backups that have played 9-10 years, not a rookie backup. So say Thayer Mumford, for whatever reason, goes down, and I hope that's not the case, and you got to put in DJ Glaze, who's a good player. He's a rookie. Rookies on the offensive line in the NFL don't work all the time. So the depth of the offensive line is a positive. The secondary and the cornerbacks. I'm looking here at the cornerbacks. Ja'Corian Bennett looked really good to me throughout camp. You know, I'm a big fan at the safety. Isaiah Palamal, he can play. But then when it comes to Richardson, number 25 out of Mississippi State, Dekamrion Richardson, he's a good, unique-looking player at the age of 23 years old. And Devonshire, MJ Devonshire out of Pittsburgh, is a good-looking player. and he's 23 years old. I like the safety play. I think the safeties can play, and I think they're fine at wide receiver. Man, Max Crosby and Christian Wilkins are still out there in the end zone with Gerald McCoy. A lot of the media is picking up on this. This is a big deal that he's working, and those guys who are after practice are listening to him. I wish I had a camera to show you this. It's pretty cool what I'm watching. So Mad Max Crosby is the star of the show today. You're going to hear that coming up. And then we're going to get down to number one, the greatest Raider game of all time. By now, you should know what that game is. It's Super Bowl 18. We chose the top 10 games of all time. We had 13 or 14 honorable mentions, a lot of really good games. We had two at number 10, and then we went right to number two. Number two was Super Bowl 11, the first one for the Raiders with Kenny Snake Stabler and Fred Biletnikoff winning the MVP. I easily could have put that first. I could have put it second. Super Bowl 15, I could have put first or second. But we chose the group that I'm working with, Super Bowl 18, because even John Madden said, and this was from Matt Millen. Matt Millen rode the bus with me today. I got to tell you that story. Matt Millen said that John Madden said that his team that won the Super Bowl, he thought the Super Bowl 18 team could beat the Super Bowl 11 team. That's what Matt Millen told me, because of the talent and the stars they had on the team. So if you got a call about Super Bowl 18, that'll be our number one game. Bobby's done a great job as a producer of the show, putting the sound together, highlights, some commentary from that game also. Number 702-365-9200, and we are wrapping up camp today. So, again, the phones have been quiet all summer. The phones are quiet from time to time because I don't read a lot of text. And, you know, I don't give away, you know, koozies. I'll give away something sometimes. But I want to talk to aggressive Raider fans. And Max Crosby got aggressive at the end of our conversation about the disrespect around here and what's going on and what he is hearing. And Max said, they always pick Denver over us. Raiders will beat Denver 8 in a row. And there are still pundits and prognosticators out there in this situation that are picking Denver over the Raiders and the Raiders to be last place in the AFC West. I'm always honest with you. I've been known to exaggerate. I don't know how good this team could be until the quarterbacks play better. I'm not impressed with the quarterbacks, but I think the quarterbacks are good. I don't have to be impressed with practice. I'd like to see them play better in practice, but I haven't been that impressed yet, and I was hoping that I would come to Costa Mesa. I've been out here for close to 2.5 weeks on and off, that I'd come away one of the days and come to you on the radio and say, man, the quarterbacks were killer today. Oh, my God. And they had a few good practices, but this was all about the defense. Speaking of Matt Millen, what a sharp guy he is. So I rode the bus today with Matt Millen, four-time Super Bowl champ. And I said, hey, Matt, all the camps you played with, he won 4 Super Bowls. Right, one with the Redskins at the time, the 49ers, 2 with the Raiders. I said, Matt, was the defense that you played on always ahead of the offense? And Matt has that mean look and mug when he wants to make it. And Max lowered his glasses and goes, every team I played on, the defense was better than the offense at camp. I go, really, with the Raiders? He goes, yeah. He goes, Plunkett, even the Plunkett teams, he said. It took them about a quarter of the season to catch up. And I said, excuse me, do you mean a quarter of camp? He said, no, a quarter of the season for the offense to catch up. So that was a big, big deal for me. And Max said, you know, when we talk to Max, you'll hear that coming up here in a minute. Matt Millen said that their defense used to hammer away all the time and go after these guys. So that's what I'm seeing here. It's all been about the defense. If you're a Raider fan and you love defense, you're going to like this team a lot. I think you are going to like this team. If you're a Raider fan and you want the offense to pop and you want the offense to be a big offense with Devontae Adams and Trey Tucker deep, it's possible it could happen. Aiden O'Connell connected on a couple of deep balls last year, so we know he can do it. But will the question come, will Gardner Minshew outplay him, where Gardner Minshew is not a big deep ball thrower, but he's a guy that can really be sharp. Everybody's been talking about this with Gardner Minshew, that when you turn the tape on in camp, wherever he was, Jacksonville, Philly, Indianapolis, wherever he was along the way, he never wowed anybody at training camp. He's not a great practice player. But if you throw on the tape of Gardner Minshew, if you throw it on during the regular season when the games are real, he's a pretty good baller. He really is. He gets after it pretty good, and he goes and wins games. He's got pretty good stats. I mean, Geno Smith's a starter in Seattle. Look at Geno Smith's stats career-wise against Gardner Minshew and tell me what you see. So all of this overall is encouraging in a lot of ways, but the quarterback play takes the oxygen out of the room. It takes the oxygen out of the room from time to time because everybody wants to see great quarterback play. And ladies and gentlemen, you did not get great quarterback play in Costa Mesa, California at the 2024 Raiders training camp. It wasn't horrible. It wasn't terrible. Some days were worse than others, but I'm kind of disappointed. And I think a lot of people are disappointed around here, and they're hoping that the team will step up. I'll leave you on this good news note here in the monologue. Good news is you're going to see them play in the preseason. That's great for me, calling the games on radio. It's going to be great for you watching the Raiders, and especially if you're going to the games. If you're going to the Dallas game or the 49er game, I don't know exactly who's going to play, but Antonio Pierce made it clear today that the quarterbacks will play a quarter each in Minnesota. So you're going to see a half of football with a lot of the starters in, and the quarterbacks need to play with the starters so they can get a rhythm down. So I'm excited about that. 702-365-9200. My flight has already been delayed. And as my wife says, take a deep breath. Nothing to get home to tonight. Remember, it took me 22 hours to get home from here by car. The greatest traffic jam of my life. They're going to put a monument up between Barstow and Baker and say this is where JT the Brick spent 6 to 8 hours of his life not moving a couple of Fridays ago. So I'm not worried that my Southwest flight is just delayed 40 minutes. You know, fine, we can handle that. But I need to manifest good things about this flight being on time. Raider Nation Drinking Club, Thor, in Summerlin, in my hood, joins us. Kick it off, Thor. Appreciate you. What's happening?
JT, what's happening, my brother? I'm fired up, bro. I'm fired up, man. I'm a glass half full kind of Raider fan. And I, honestly, I know you said this kind of a just a whatever day for the callers. So I want to call in and encourage Raider fans. Be Raider fans that are glass half full kind of guys. We have a great defense coming. We have great receivers. We have great tight ends, great young tight ends. We have quarterbacks who are trying to get it together. I understand we want all this from the – and it's training camp right now. It's early. They're trying to get it together. Gardner Minshew is trying to get it together to try to win this job. And you know what? I'm good with Aiden or Gardner. I know a few people who think Gardner gives us a better shot. Whoever gives us a better shot and wins games, I want starting. But I want them competing, and I'm half full, and I'm going to stay half full that this is going to be a good season, and I'm not worried about a little subpar quarterback play right now. And Raider Nation Drinking Club's getting back to being doing live shows. And so I've been watching more live shows, and I've watched comments of a lot of Raider fans who are talking a lot of crap about these dudes, about players on our team. Stop it. You need to encourage these dudes. You don't know. They might have a friend watching who tells them they're talking bad about them. That's not going to help them. That's not going to help your team. Raider Nation, stand up, unite, as JT would say. Let's go. Let's get fired. I'm fired up. This weekend, I'm going to see the Raiders on the field. Let's go. No injuries. Everyone stay healthy and keep building this team the right way. Let's go, JT.
Thank you, Thor. Appreciate you coming in here, Raider Nation Drinking Club. It's a really important topic about being optimistic. A lot of sports fans, including myself, if you follow me on Twitter with the Yankees, every time the Yankees lose a game, I want to jump off a building, right? So I'm pretty negative when they lose. But I love the team, and I'm invested in the team. I love this team. I'm invested in the team. If the team wins, it changes everything. If the team's not playing well and they're losing games, it's even hard for the diehard Raider fans, guys like Thor, it's hard to stay positive. And we want everybody to be positive in the preseason, right? The regular season starts off at Los Angeles, at Baltimore. We'll see what happens in the first two games. And then that'll be the test for us. How do we handle it here on the flagship of the Raiders? Because a lot of fans are going to call in if the Raiders don't get off to a good start, and they're going to be pissed off. A lot of fans, if the Raiders get off to a good start, are going to be going crazy and loving life. That's the way it is. 27 years on Raiders radio in some capacity. I know these fans better than anybody. They deserve to win. They've been waiting too long to win, and it's got to change. And I think this team is better than their record last year. I know they're better, but I can tell you this. I can't pick them to win a lot of games until the quarterback starts showing up and playing better. Right, I'm going to pick them. I think they're a good team. They won 8 games last year. They should have won 9. They were hanging around 9 or 10 wins. They ended up with 8. You know, that 3-0 Minnesota game still gives me nightmares at night. But I thought that was a 9-10 win team last year. They ended up with 8. I think this team is better. But if the quarterbacks don't elevate their game, it's not going to happen. The quarterbacks don't have to do a lot. They don't have to be Brady or Montana or Mahomes. But they got to be better than they've been in Costa Mesa. And I'm hoping that happens. I really hope that happens coming up here. 702-365-9200. For the next hour and a half, I'm going to be thanking all of our partners, and we got a lot of them. And PT's fuels the monologue, and everything I could say about PT's, they're my longest-standing business relationship on this channel, dating back decades. So I got to thank everybody at Golden Entertainment, the Sartini family, everybody involved in this, and the people that give us a chance every day to talk about their company. PT's fuels the monologue live from Costa Mesa. The entire coverage, every monologue in Costa Mesa was brought to you by Golden Entertainment. PT's, the best happy hour in town, 5 to 7, midnight to 2. You know it by now. Wherever you are driving in the valley in Vegas, any corner, anywhere, you see a PT's. They welcome you in, watch sports, have a great happy hour, drive responsibly, great food, and have a great time. Thanks to PT's for sending me out to Costa Mesa. We could not do it without them. When we come back, Mad Max Crosby. If you're on YouTube, you saw it already. So if you're on YouTube, you can hear it again. You won't be able to see it on YouTube, but you'll be able to hear it again. And if you're listening on radio, which is the majority of our audience, what Max Crosby had to say. I think you're really going to enjoy this conversation. I've had a bunch with him. I think this was the best conversation we had. How calm he is, his zen, his ability, his will to win. Max Crosby joins us. As we're also brought to you by Boyd Gaming. When I think of Boyd Gaming, I think of the Raiders partnership and local coverage in Vegas. Boyd Gaming, proud partner of our Costa Mesa shows.
No, you feel him, you hear him, you know, he's always trying to touch you. It's kind of his thing, but, no, he's awesome, man. He makes an impact. And as long as he's doing that on Sundays, man, we're going to be in good shape.
We are back live at Raiders training camp, Mad Max Crosby, who I've covered his whole career. Now I get to cover it in Costa Mesa. How are you?
Phenomenal. Been an incredible time out here. It's crazy. It's already been over 2 weeks, and, it just shows you time flies, but, every single year, just fine-tuning everything, getting closer as a unit, super focused, super excited for what's to come. But we're really just focused on the 1%, the day-to-day.
I saw your wife out there the other day and talked to her. You had a little bit of family time, even though you're away from home. But I want to know personally and physically what this camp did to you. Your off-season was amazing. You were there every day. What'd you get out of Costa Mesa?
Just the best version of myself. Every single day, I think, you know, the physical part is a major component, all of the recovery, every single day, 5 massages a week, even in the off season, all the little things to refine and elevate my game personally. But it's the mental side. No clutter, no distractions, focus on what's most important, my circle, tight knit, and everybody on the same page and understand what I'm trying to achieve. And they all got to understand that too, because it requires so much sacrifice on my end. So my circle is smaller and tighter than ever, but I have the best people in the world around me. So, yeah, it's been an incredible time so far.
Does that have a lot to do with your sobriety circle, too, combining that with football?
Yeah, it's everything. You know, just the people, the mentors in my life, you know, from my agent, CJ, to Rachel, Ella. I mean, from Tim Grover, he's in my circle now. Alex Guerrero, another one.
I saw him around. That's a nice addition.
We work with each other every single day, and twice a day during camp. So it's just having the – I want the best in the world around me at all times, even for guys like Dana White. Like, yeah. I talk to him almost every day. Those dudes, it doesn't matter if it's business, football, whatever it is, whatever avenue they're in, all those type of people have that same type of thinking. Like, if I sit in a room with them, I could sit there and talk for hours and hours and hours, and that's the people I want to surround myself with. So just eliminating the extra, you know, the distractions, things like that. There's a lot that comes with this life, and when, you know, money gets involved, yeah, and fame and success and all that, everybody wants to be a part of that.
Sure.
But for me, you know, no is a full sentence, is a complete sentence. So I've learned to say no and just focus on what's most important.
You know, but on a lighter note, a kid got through security and you just signed his ball and autograph. And yeah. You're like, hey, he's a kid. I'm going to sign this for him,
course,
too. And you have that relationship with young fans, too, that's really important in your overall objection to win here, is connecting with these fans, and that's never been an issue. How is that fan relationship growing for you?
It's incredible. It's super important, and Charles Woodson, I would credit him a big part of that, because he just said, he's like, always have the fans in your corner. He's like, always go out of your way for your fans, and you know, you see it on social media. Yeah. I always repost my fans and jerseys, and I mean, I've had like 10 people with me tatted on their leg and arm, and it's unbelievable to
that
see.
That is
but
pretty cool.
It's crazy, but yeah, it's, you know, it's a testament to being consistent with them. You know, being consistent in the lead across the board, and that includes being with the fans and showing the love and support, because without them, I wouldn't be in this position. You know, they're the ones that fill the seats. They're the ones that buy the jerseys. They're a major part of this, so I always go above and beyond and want to show them the love and respect they deserve.
Max Crosby, as we wrap it up, the spot that we've been in has Kobe vibes. Kobe spent a lot of time across the street,
yep,
with his kids at that South Coast Plaza and all that, and I know the impact that Kobe had on him. This is Kobe country. L.A., globally, it's about Kobe,
yeah,
but especially blocks from where you're training.
Yeah, 100%. You know, Kobe is probably, if not my biggest inspiration, between him and Mike. Like, mm-hmm, those two, the amount I've taking the time to study, from interviews to books to everything. Kobe is literally the epitome of what it is to be iconic in any sport. You know, he fully invested and was obsessed with what he did. And a guy like Tim was, a major reason why I brought him in, was because he was around the best. And I get to sit there and pick his brain about how Kobe was and what he did and how I can separate myself more and more. And the consistency of work, I just asked my dad, like, he was asking me, I'm sending him clips, and, you know, I was showing everybody, like, this is what I'm doing. I'm telling you, I'm going to have my best year yet. I'm feeling my best. And they're like, what is it? And I'm like, it's the consistency of work. That's what Kobe said. Every single year, if you're doing it for 1 year and then 3 years and five and seven, and then you're just fine-tuning and refining and elevating your game every single day, you're just only going to be running laps around people. They don't have time to catch up, because I don't stop. And that's what it's all about. And Kobe is a major inspiration when it comes to that. And just the way he attacked the game, he didn't fear anything. Mm-hmm. He went into it. He took everything on, head on. He felt responsible for everything. If we're going to win this game, it's on me to go and win the game. If we lose the game, it's on me. You know what I mean? That's the mentality I have every day. I want to be the hardest worker. I know I'm the hardest worker. I believe in the National Football League, and that's what pushes me every day.
Yeah.
I know there's more I can always do, and God, like Kobe being in L.A., I feel that spirit and energy
I
at all
tell.
Times.
You know, wrapping it up with football, when you have interviews, you just did a hit on NFL Network, people want to ask you about yourself.
Yeah.
But most of this camp for me has been about the quarterbacks.
Yeah.
So they're getting criticized. Some days it's, why didn't he step up? Why? You're coming around the edge, tapping guys, you know, balls are flying, getting deflected. If the defensive line were Christian Wilkins and you were getting better, it's going to help the secondary and the safeties. But it takes a rep away from a quarterback that's competing for this. Are you hearing the quarterback noise? Is it a big deal? Because you're not in charge of who's going to start here, but it's a big component about what this camp's been about.
No doubt. Yeah. I hear, you know, people that try to say they you know, ignore the noise, it's complete BS.
Yeah.
You hear and see everything. No matter what it is, people are either going to text you, you're going to see something pop up, whatever it is. So, we hear it, you know, people see it, people hear about it, whatever, back and forth. But at the end of the day, like, I want the best man to win, period. Whether that's Aiden or Garner or whoever that may be, somebody's going to have to step up and make a statement. And I think these preseason games are going to be a big part of that. And for me, all I'm focused on is winning. So I don't care what it looks like. I just want the best man to win. And, I know they're competing. I know as a D-line, you know, people get irritated. I know I get every, you know, basically every other practice I get kicked out for a team period because I hit the ball at the quarterback. But I'm focused on being the best version of myself. Yeah. You can't just go in the game and learn how to strip sack. So, yeah, I might get some heat from it sometimes. But it's going to make them better. It's going to make the tackles better. It's going to make the O-line better because I know, you know, if you got guys like Christian, myself, Malcolm, all of us hunting, Adam Butler, every single down, once they get in the game, it's going to be easier. And these quarterbacks, is going to, you know, the best man is going to win. So we'll see what happens.
Last one. When I came to this team in 98, went to two AFC championship games and a Super Bowl, I thought it was going to be like that every year.
Yeah.
I'm sick and tired. I'm sick and tired of some of the lack of respect from the national media, from other people around here, understanding. They know the history of this team and the great moments of this team, but it's got to stop now. It's about winning. This is your prime. I think the beginning of your prime. You're going to have a long prime. Wins got to start getting knocked down. And I know I can say just by looking at you, you're at the point, too, where you're a Raider. Everybody wants you to be a Raider for life, but it's got to show up on the field this year with wins.
100%. I mean, you're spot on. That's all that matters. At the end of the day, it's about winning. It's simple and plain, and we got to find ways to do that.
Yeah.
You know, I fully believe in AP. I fully believe in what we got going on, and we have to go out there and produce. It doesn't matter the talk, the noise. You see it around the league. Everybody, we get ranked fourth in the division every single year, and we've beaten Denver four years in a row.
Let's stop that. We beat Denver 8 in a row, and then the rankings come out, and it's Raiders third.
Second. Yeah, it's.
Oh, and let me follow up with that.
Knocking
the Chargers out of the playoffs in one of the greatest games, if not in Allegiant history, and then putting 63 on their ass, and then Harbaugh's going to come, and it's going to be 6 or 7 more wins for them. That's the type of disrespect that we're talking to these fans about, and only us can defend it here in the Raider Nation. We're the only ones who defend
this. Of course, and the only way you go out and shut them up is by doing what we did, and what we've been doing. We just have to take it to another level. It's not just about beating those two teams; it's about being consistent across the board, whether it's we're on the road in New York or wherever it's going to be. We have to be in the playoffs, and that's our main focus, and we got to take it one game at a time. So we hear all that noise, we hear what the people say about us, we see all the Charger fans, they come after me every single year, and the Broncos fans, but we know when it's really time to go, they already know what time it is. So I have no words to say. They're just gonna have to see me, and they're gonna have to see us when it matters.
Appreciate you, man. Thanks for everything you do for me.
Yes, I appreciate
you,
brother.
There he is, the great Mad Max Crosby, as we have him here on Raider Nation Radio. That was good. It's always good with him. We'll be back after this.
Yeah, I think obviously every day there's good days, there's bad days. I think just be more consistent for myself. You know, I'm just, like I said last time, just trying to go out there and execute the best I can every time with every play. And, you know, there's a lot of factors that go on out there and who you're playing with, what the call is, the coverage and all those things. And so you kind of got to tune all that out, take it into account, but tune it out and just try to, you know, execute the best play possible.
All right, that's Aiden O'Connell. Vinny Bonsignore joins us. Our good friend Mike over at La Casa Cigars, a proud partner of ours who helped us get out here to Costa Mesa, as we're thanking all of our partners today. And, Vinny, you spent the entire camp here in Costa Mesa. You just heard Aiden O'Connell. I'm not going to say I'm disappointed in him. I just thought I had higher expectations in him, considering what I heard he was doing in the offseason. I didn't see much of it here. How'd you see it?
Yeah, and I think that goes for both quarterbacks. Mm. You know, it's an incomplete in terms of the quarterbacks, not a play on words there. But I think that the Raiders, you know, wanted to see one or the other take a definitive step forward here in camp compared to the other, and that just simply hasn't happened. So now it'll extend into the preseason starting Saturday in Minnesota against the Vikings, and that's going to now become a big component of this decision that Antonio Pierce and Tom Telesco and Luke Getsy have in front of them. And it bears repeating that we've seen this every single day. This is a really good defense that they're operating against. So you have to take that into account. Davante Adams hasn't been out there for now a week you know, about a week now in training camp, you know, going home for the birth of his son. Plus Colton Miller, the left tackle, hasn't been out there. Jackson Powers Johnson, who's expected to be the starting left guard, isn't out there. You definitely have to take all of that into account. But it is what it is, and the bottom line is, 11 practices into training camp, 17 days into this. We're no further along in terms of deciding who the Raiders starting quarterback is than we started, basically. It's still, as Antonio Pierce said, status quo.
All right, with Whitehair and Pete, both veterans, been around this league a while. Those are good players, mm-hmm. so they have to step in and play. Let's talk about that, because JPJ not being here for one practice is concerning to me, because how quickly do you want to get him up to speed? And even if he plays one preseason game, do you want to throw him out against Bosa, Mack, and the Chargers? Do you want to start him early in the year? You're going to have to work him in. We don't know that yet. Right. We'll wait till the Raiders tell us. But tell me about what you saw with the depth of the offensive line.
Yeah, and I actually just wrote this. You know, when you're talking about Andrews, Pete, and Cody Whitehair, mm-hmm. you're talking about two former Pro Bowlers. Mm-hmm. Andrews Pete at left guard, who's now transitioned to left tackle, played there last year for the Saints, did reasonably well. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, and he could play guard too, mm-hmm. If need be. Cody Whitehair could play center, both guard positions. So it's been a long time since the Raiders have had veteran backups mm-hmm. That had the kind of body of work and resumes that both of these players have had. So I think the Raiders probably had a little bit of a vision for an Andrews Pete, knowing that Colton Miller was going to be delayed coming mm-hmm. off the surgery. Yeah. And remember, Colton's not hurt. He's just going through the process of rehabbing from surgery. So that's important to keep in mind. But should it come down to it, I think the Raiders would be comfortable with either Andrews Pete at left tackle for a spell, or if Cody Whitehair has to start the season at left guard, they're comfortable with that as well. And that's not a luxury the Raiders have necessarily had in the offensive line in terms of the veteran experience. And then you got DJ Glaze, who every time you turn around, Antonio mm-hmm. Pierce or somebody else is talking about him, Tom Telesco, the general manager, and for good reasons, because he just turned 22 on Friday. This 22-year-old rookie third-round pick from Maryland has definitely opened some eyes, and now he's been splitting time at right tackle, starting right mm-hmm. tackle with Thayer Munford. So I feel like Thayer's going to hold on to that job, but it's already, or DJ has already shown the Raiders that as either a backup or a potential starter, he seems to be headed in the right direction.
Tell me about Zamir White and how you've evaluated this camp, because non-padded practices, hitting the hole, no one's really going to bring you down. How do you judge him? And give me a guesstimate of what you think he could carry as a workload per game. 20, 22, more than that. With the Bowers-Mayer situation, which I love, that's going to take away some rushing attempts for him. Devontae needs the ball. And let me repeat that. Devontae needs the ball.
For sure.
You didn't have to watch Netflix or not.
Right.
He needs the football.
Yeah.
So where do you see Zamir White and his workload coming up?
I think that Antonio mentioned the number 230 to 250 in terms of carries. So divide that if he plays 17 games, and that'll give you your answer. Of course, sometimes situations are going to dictate you know, how many carries he gets. Sometimes you're playing from behind. You're going to throw it a little bit more often. But I think the blueprint for the Raiders, and we've seen that with that dominant defense, is a dominant defense, controlling the line of scrimmage and the pace of the game with your running game, and then having the quarterbacks kind of benefit from that running game to then play off of that running game and get the ball to guys like Devontae Adams and Michael Mayer and Brock Bowers and Trey Tucker and on and on and on. So from what I've seen of Zamir White, I feel like he's poised to have a big year, and I'd be really surprised if he doesn't hold on to that job and kind of flourish in that role. Two reasons why. Number one, he's came in fabulous shape. Mm-hmm. He's hitting the hole. He's running with authority. Now, again, you just mentioned, in training camp, it's tough to get a read on your running game mm-hmm. because you're not doing anything. Like there will be games where 6 yards, 8 yards, 9 yards, and the offensive coordinator is, let's stick with it and get into a rhythm. And all of a sudden, you know, he's getting more volume of work. Here, everything's pretty much scripted. Mm-hmm. You're not doing anything to try to create any momentum for yourself or sequencing your play calling. So we just haven't seen that. But I would imagine in this game and further into the season, you're going to start seeing that, and I think he's going to run with that role.
Vinny Bonsignore, as we wrap it up, he's getting out of here along with a lot of the beat riders and myself a little bit later on. At cornerback, Bennett, Richardson, Devin Shire, Faison, his situation going forward. And I thought Jack Jones had a great camp.
Tremendous.
So give me a bubble picture of what you think the cornerbacks are going to do, because that was a question mark coming to Costa Mesa.
Yeah, and I just wrote about this as well. Ja'Korian Bennett, if there was one pressing question on mm-hmm. the defense, a defense that returned most of their starters, was who's going to start alongside Nate Hobbs and Jack Jones. And I feel like Ja'Korian Bennett, even we know that, you know, Brandon Faison hasn't been out there for a little while now with whatever he's dealing with. But even if he had been on the field, it's hard hard to imagine that Jakorian wouldn't be the starter right now. He's played that well in training camp. But then you talk about Jack Jones, who I think if he remains dialed in, and he's been dialed in practice, there's been days where he's the best player
on the field. Yes, yesterday I thought he was the best player on the field. Yeah,
and that's saying something with Max Crosby on the field and Christian Wilkins on the field. But he's earned that, and I think that if he stays on the right track and stays focused and dialed in, he's got the potential to be a top 10 NFL cornerback. And you already talked, Nate Hobbs, to me, if you're talking about slot corners in this league, is a top 5, top 6 slot cornerback with the potential to be even better. So you start talking about that cornerback room and slotting guys in that type of world, and all of a sudden you're thinking that has a chance to be a very good secondary with Jakorian, and then the three safeties. We got to mention Isaiah Palamalu because he had another interception today. A playmaker, a guy that's a real asset for this team. Trayvon Merrig, another interception for him today. Marcus Epps, you know what you're getting. Playing behind that offensive or that defensive line, it's going to make everybody's world a little bit easier. And you could say the same thing about the defense. This room, that secondary is going to – they're going to lead to some coverage sacks as well. They're going to be able to do their job and help Max Crosby cross the finish line in terms of sacks and Malcolm Kuntz and Christian Wilkins. So both of those groups, the defensive line and the secondary, are going to help each other.
All right, it's partnership thank you day as we break camp. Who would you like to thank?
Well, definitely, when we're talking about LendingStore.com, if you need $500 or $5,000, just go to LendingStore.com, get all the details. Don't sweat it. They can hook you up with experts that can get you money as early as tomorrow. Of course, Dos Catas Tequila. You talked about La Casa Cigar and Lounge, our great friend Mike Prieto. They've partnered up, he and Dos Catas Tequila, to do some great things with some specialty cigars and the various labels of Dos Catas Tequila. So go check them out. And if you want to buy your Dos Catas Tequila, Lee's Liquors, Total Wine, if you're not in Las Vegas, just go to DosCatasSpirits.com and you could have everything delivered right to your house, DosCatasSpirits.com.
We'll see you in Minneapolis.
Thank you very much. Enjoy your trip back to Las Vegas.
You have a better trip than me home. You got that journey.
Thank you very much.
You got it. There he is. Vinny Bonsignor, everybody, kind enough to join us and on the live stream. Really appreciate the great work that he's done as our teammate here on Raider Nation Radio, and support his partners like you support ours here. As we continue on, wow, that was one hell of an hour, man. We had Max Crosby, Vinny B on. I haven't had a chance to get to our greatest game of all time. We're counting down the top 10 games of all time. I will lead with that at the top of the hour. We're excited about that. So we're going to lead with that, Super Bowl 18. We know we're going to hear from Raider 66, and we should be hearing from other Raider fans who know that. Thanks a lot to Vinny Bonsignor as we wrap it up. I'm just telling you how gorgeous it is out here as I'm turning around my live stream just to see the view I have at this football field. And then right over here I have NFL Network as they're breaking down. Mike Garofalo, Daniel Jeremiah has been here today. But as you look out there, you see wispy clouds, a lot of trees, unbelievable temperatures in the 70s and 80s. And we're excited about that, man. And now we're heading back to Vegas. My wife's going to the Morgan Wallen concert coming up. She's all excited about that. Oh, my God. Who's this guy Morgan Wallen everybody is raving about? I obviously know who he is, but count me out. I put on my boots. As you saw, I put on my boots for the rodeo. That's a picture that will live in infamy, me dressing up for the rodeo. You don't have to worry about that. I am not going to Morgan Wallen, but I think it's sold out, Allegiant Stadium. Can you imagine if Mark Davis didn't build the Legion Stadium with the help of all of his partners and what he was able to do? We got concerts. We got events. We got the Raiders. We also have T-Mobile Arena. We have the Sphere. So much going on. But I feel like a lot of people, man, a lot of people got out of Vegas this summer, man. A lot of people wanted to get out. They tried to get out, and they were able to get out. Who else do we go? Bobby, if we got AJ in Milwaukee, if he's still there, that'd be nice to take his call. He's been holding. AJ, go ahead. What's happening?
Hey, JT, how's it going, man?
I'm doing great.
For everything you do, man, not only for the Raiders, but for Raider Nation as a whole, we appreciate you and everything that you do, so thank you. I wanted to ask you about kind of the offseason with Cliff Kingsbury's situation falling through and us ultimately landing Luke Getsy. You kind of view that almost as like a blessing in disguise, just kind of with the roster we have, obviously the young tight ends. And with the tight ends being so important in this offense, are we going to be having Big Mike as like a true number one while Brock's going to be moved all over at times like a joker? And obviously adding on to that, the running game is going to be essential. Last year when he was with the Bears, the running game didn't go too well, and ultimately the offensive kind of dwindled because of that. What are your thoughts on our running room in general? And Zeus, I mean, looks like he's sculpted out of marble this offseason. Yeah. What have you seen out there in Costa Mesa? Thanks, Jason.
Thank you. Thank you for that great question. A lot of great questions there. First off, it didn't take me long to understand that Darren Waller was a wide receiver, not a tight end. You heard that here first. First time I saw Waller play, I said, you got to look at his numbers and treat him like a receiver, and I was right with that. Same thing with Brock Bowers. I saw Brock Bowers line up in the slot on the outside. He can do it all. So Big Mike Mayer, who we talked to yesterday, is going to be the featured tight end who's a blocker, a road grader, who can catch the ball. Brock Bowers is going to be a Swiss Army knife. He's going to be a hybrid. He's going to get the ball all the time out of the backfield. He's going to put his hands on the ball in the backfield. They're going to check down to him. And I'm hoping it works out well with Zamir White, because I don't see how this team's going to score a lot of points unless they're able to run the ball and set up play action. Our entire camp radio setup here, which is pretty incredible, as you see if you're watching on our YouTube feed, is brought to you by Modelo. Steve Gomez and his Modelo team got me some new Modelo gear I'll be wearing next week. I appreciate that. You know I have a bucket of Modelos every Friday. People yell at me in the airports. They yell at me across casinos, Modelo, JT, Modelo, because they know I drink Modelo. I drink it in the pool. I drink it at the bar. I drink it on the road. I love Modelos. I had Modelos at Billy's in Newport Beach yesterday with my great friend Sam Batesh, one of my former producers. We had our Modelos. Thank you, Modelo, for putting us in Costa Mesa during training camp, as we thank all of our partners today, and we thank Modelo, the fighting spirit of Modelo.